There's a mention of the whipped Gordon Peter image that through its mass reproduction became a kind of tool for abolition. And there are other examples of similar strategies afoot in the exhibition, and we can see that at work in the abolition constellation, particularly with a reference to Sojourner Truth. So earlier on, Deanna mentions Frederick Douglass as recognizing that the mobilization of his image, the circulation of his likeness, and a very particular kind of likeness, a likeness that appeared stoic. You know, if you look at images of Frederick Douglass, he's never smiling. And he recognized that, you know, in appearing to be stoic, people would equate him with some serious business, right? He was also one of, if not the most photographed man in the 19th century, I believe, in
alongside Queen Victoria.
In North America.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry, my bad. I got that.
But there are amazing archives of images of him. But there's also a similar strategy afoot in the work of Sojourner Truth. And you can see an image of her on the bottom right-hand side of this this constellation. Sojourner Truth is the first person in the United States to copyright their own likeness, which I think is an incredibly radical gesture. By doing so, she essentially says, I have agency over my likeness. I cannot be instrumentalized in someone else's effort. But among this collection of images are, it's almost like a family album of sorts of different individuals who exercise their own agency in telling their own story. Among them, you know, early publishers like Mary Ann Shadd. We also see Harriet Tubman, who authored or organized the first attack on American soil by a Canadian, a first military attack on American soil by an American woman, at least believed to be. But we also see all sorts of other indications of how agency could be exercised.
Other people that are in this constellation, Henry Bibb, also published an abolitionist newspaper out of Canada. There's other notes that speak to the abolitionist campaign that was actually very real and fulsome in Canada. There's images of the two directors of the Toronto Abolitionist Coalition. There's an image of all of the Underground Railroad tracks, so to speak, alongside the abolition of slavery or the proclamation of the abolition of slavery, British slavery, and, you know, a need to kind of flag the distinction between the end of British slavery, which is in 1833, I think. Don't quote me on that. But it's some 30 years before United States ends slavery in 1865. Other images, Crystal had mentioned Harriet Tubman, but there's also a very important figure in John Brown, who is responsible for what is considered to be the most significant pre-Civil War battle, which is the attack at Harper's Ferry, which is in fact conceived in Chatham, Ontario. So his house is presented in the constellation. There's the Constitution of the Anti-Slavery Society of Canada. Other images that again kind of speak to American sensibilities of like the mayhem that will come out of the Fugitive Slave Law. I don't know if anybody knows what that is, but the Fugitive Slave Law really is just speaking to slave owners' right to chase their property as far and as long as they possibly could. Many came to Canada because it was a different country, and so therefore that law didn't apply. But there were still black slaves in Canada. We had slavery, one, and two, there were former slaves that were still in regions in southern Ontario that were not safe. And so the advertisement for fugitive slaves to pay attention, that the slave hunter is among us, is there for that reason, to speak to how that news was disseminated amongst people. But I also really think about that image as a contemporary cautioning. I think that the slave catcher is still very much among us. The image that most people will recognize, of course, is the branded hand that's smack dab in the center of the constellation. And I can't remember the name of the gentleman, but it is literally a branded hand of a abolitionist. It's a double S. I can't remember what that means, but
slave stealer.
Thank you. Slave stealer. And it was a way to identify people that were aiding the cause of abolition and or the Underground Railroad. I think it's a super important image to look at because it also speaks to the way, again, an ongoing kind of strategy of classification, even in white communities.
That image in particular makes me think of tokens. Because it's a another side of the coin, so to speak, of the abolitionist token that we saw in the mm-hmm. case with the metal work. It's a daguerreotype presented in this beautiful gilded frame, but it's also an image of a hand, which, you know, could conceivably also be holding a coin, a token, to pass to a peer who's concerned with similar emancipatory efforts. But this isn't covert, you know, a coin, a token, passing something across the table to somebody who you suspect might mm-hmm. also be in support of abolition. That's a much more discreet gesture, right? Mm-hmm. It's a gentleman's gesture, mm-hmm. so to speak. This is wearing your cause literally on your skin in a way that, you know, reminds us, I guess, of other examples of within the exhibition where the skin becomes a map of sorts of the extent to which people are willing to go in the name of emancipation.